If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show for Monday, June the 15th. It's RP here and DD there. How are you doing, Dupes?
I'm really good.
For some reason, I guess it's because we're all in a frenzy around here to talk about what we're excited about. I'm a little behind in sharing the show and checking the text line and doing everything. So if I'm down with my nose in my phone here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, I'll look like Darren. You love
I
that,
get
eh?
It. Yeah.
So it'll be me sharing the stream to all our various groups and friends and so forth. But how are you?
I'm great. Yeah, good.
You? Good. Oh, awesome.
I saw you guys. You guys stopped after 9 on Saturday. You had enough of the wind.
We all golfed on Saturday. He was in his foursome. We were in ours. After 9, we called it a day. It was an 85-kilometer wind, and I see Carlos Legena writing in from sunny Indianapolis, Indiana. I don't know what 85 kilometers an hour wind is. It is damn strong. Are you around 55 miles an hour?
And you're right into it on like the longest hole on the course to start. And yeah, it's like you hit your iron shot. I probably could have ran and caught the ball.
Well, a perfect way to start the show talking about that. Jeff Hayes, our sales rep in Saskatoon, says, good morning. Hello, Jeff. I feel people are bouncy this morning. Mm-hmm. I hope that they are. But this is what I said, because everybody saw on my social media that we were golfing in this gale force wind.
Yeah.
And it seems like every weekend it's gale force wind. I said, if I ever get to golf in normal, calm conditions, I'll set the course record.
Exactly.
Right? I can't wait for that. So, yeah, I noticed that you were. Was it your brother you were with?
No, a couple of friends.
Okay. One guy kind of looked like a bigger version of you.
Yeah.
So I thought that might have been
tall,
your brother.
No, yeah, not my brother.
Okay. It was fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was fun. So you're ready to talk sports today?
Yeah.
I still haven't shared in my groups, and some people, like the Regina Rams Alumni Association, gets upset if I don't share in their group. They could go do it. I'm talking about the Facebook thing.
Yeah.
But they like the RP touch. So I'll get to that.
People do.
Quick six show topics, but I've got like probably 13 topics. I told you I got a ton of things to talk about. A lot of things done tangle here this morning. One, the recap of our weekends, which we just kind of did. Did have a wonderful birthday for my uncle in a Quonset. For those that don't know what it is, look it up. A Quonset. Think they could Google it? I'm not going to tell you. You find out what it is.
I'm sure you could Google it. If you're from Saskatchewan, you know. Maybe our viewers across North America, some of them might not, but you could Google it.
Social distancing and safety in a Quonset, by the way. I don't even know if they have them in America. And you brought up a very interesting stat as Mike Kelly checks in today from Palm City, Florida. Oh, Coach Kelly, I just got to tell you, I am very jealous when I see photos. I don't like the term envious. I'm very jealous. I'm very envious of Florida right now. Particularly the NASCAR Cup Series race there yesterday in Miami. I'm just, love Miami so much. My Coach Kelly says, lots of nice courses in Palm City, Florida. Rod, you've got a place to stay. Well, thank you, Coach Kelly. Let's go.
The RP golf trip.
The RP golf. No. We're going to Miami for the NFL trip. We'll golf there because we got to work in golf.
Oh, yeah.
But Coach Kelly will be interested in this stat as well. A lot of our viewers. You mentioned our prime audience in terms of Canada versus U.S. split.
Yeah.
Do you want to relay that? And this is rough. I mean, I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire.
No, it's rough, but it's, you would think that we have about, if you asked, and, you know, people could comment in, but we're probably about 95% Canadian audience. That's what you would think. The reality is that about a third of our audience comes from the United States.
Right.
That blew my mind. But those are communities we talked about, Ohio and Minnesota. Vegas is a big one. Arizona. Even down into California and Florida, we're starting to see more viewers of the show. But a third of our audience comes from the United States, and that just kind of blew me away a little bit. You would have thought it just would have been so much more heavily dominated in Canada. But they're looking for a different perspective down there too. And it's a, you know, it's a fresh program and there's a lot of Canadians down there, but there's a lot of players, you know, whether it's the CFL circles or the NHL circles. So that kind of surprised me a little bit how big our American market is.
Well, believe you me, because I've been watching ESPN all morning, they're talking about which is my point three. Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard are against a return to play for two different reasons in the NBA. I'll get to that. The CFL came up a lot this morning in our morning meeting, and one is Randy Ambrosi. I was watching CFL 2020 on Friday night. I really enjoyed it. TSN has unveiled this show every Friday night. They're going to talk CFL football for, I think it was 30 minutes. It couldn't have been an hour. And it was good. Randy Ambrosi was on there. And he said he remains optimistic that the CFL will play in 2020. But everywhere I've been over the last 3 days, people are saying, where's Randy Ambrosi? Actually, you brought it up. One of the players tweeted a photo of Ambrosi and said, have you seen this man?
Yeah.
Who tweeted that?
Missing. I want to find it. I think it was Ricky Foley. I'm gonna look it up right now. But, yeah, it was like a missing persons photo, and it had Randy Ambrosi. The commish is under a little bit of fire from the players.
And I'm not sure that he's been that invisible. I mean, no more or less than any other commissioner. So you tell me, folks, write in on the wall. It's like, not like you can't find him. There's GMs and coaches and presidents that you can't find for hiding or hair. But the commissioner, I think, has been on this show. He's been on TSN 1050 Radio Toronto. He was on the CFL 2020 the other night. So I think, as I said to you, no matter what he says, he gets lambasted. If he does an interview, they say, he didn't give us any information.
Right.
Or if he says we've been in constant contact with the players and then they say that's BS, he gets ripped apart for whatever he says. So I think he's in a no-win situation, and I don't think that would be news to anybody at this time.
No, of course not. But, you know, it gets drilled into my head here is you got to take care of the people who take care of you. Right, we got to take care of our advertisers. We got to take care of our sponsors. So important to make sure you treat them well. In the CFL's perspective, you got to take care of the players. Doesn't matter sometimes if you're doing the right thing or not, or if you feel that you're doing the right thing. If they're upset, you're clearly not doing something right. So you got to find a way to keep them, to keep those communication lines open.
That's why we love you folks joining us for coffee today. Because of your comments, the viewers. Ken Kioski says, you know you're from Saskatchewan when you have been to a few Quonset parties. The Quonset's that large barn-looking building, but it's made of metal, and you keep your implements in there. You keep your tools in there. It's way bigger than a shed, but it's smaller than a barn.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a Quonset party. And the guy even wrote it right. Colin in Ottawa says that Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball has been more invisible than Randy Ambrosi, but that league actually makes money. I will contest that maybe he's been, Rob Manfred, more invisible than Randy Ambrosi, but when he's come out, it's been quality, not quantity. Last week, he guaranteed there will be games. And there's a lot of fake news out there, conjecture and misinformation. But he said there's a 100% chance we're playing games, which actually sounded like a threat to me, that we'll bring in replacement players if we have to. And I read an article this morning, and the Marlins president was quoted, they're already looking ahead to 2021 from a business perspective. So some teams are just writing off 2020 and talking about contracts and so forth. I know we're all out of order here on our topics, but really, who cares?
Yeah.
Was the boss going to get mad at us?
Exactly.
We are the bosses.
Yeah.
So Ambrosi's getting ripped from pillar to neck to navel here on this, and no matter what he does, he's going to be in trouble. So he knows that.
Yeah.
Point four, Roger Goodell says, we were wrong. I went back and watched the clip this morning. We were wrong by not listening to Colin Kaepernick 3-4 years ago when the anthem kneeling thing started. Well, furthermore, will Colin Kaepernick play? I don't even know if the NFL is going to play or not. Do we ever see him on an NFL field again? That might have been a good poll question today. What do you think?
I don't think so. He'd have to be willing to probably do another open workout. Willing to say, okay, look it. Now you guys are listening. I'll listen now. So you guys are kind of apologizing, understanding the movement. Well, now I'll understand that you guys don't want the distraction and you kind of need somebody to play ball a little bit. So I'll do the workout on your terms. If he shows one sign now of concession, just of wanting to play ball, the NFL's kind of apologized. They're not, maybe, you can argue whether they're meeting in the middle or not. Now Kaepernick has to take a step towards the middle to show that he's willing to work with them. It could happen, but right now I don't see it. still.
Doesn't sound like he's well. He wants it all on his terms.
Yeah. And that never works.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Reading a few of our messages here that have come in from our viewers today. Trent in Norway writes in. He says, Norway calling. You may need the winds to help set the golf course record. Rod, I remember playing a few old-time dances at a few Quonsets through the years. We stayed dry every time. I can't wait for the Raptors to defend their title. Hope the CFL gets its house in order. Stay well, everyone. Carlos in Indianapolis had a good comment there. If you boys wouldn't mind throwing it up and tell me when you do. Because point five is, what is next for the CFL? Are we heading towards a time of no salary cap at all? I mean, we see if you break the cap, you're not going to be fined. Will all contracts be terminated? Carlos in Indianapolis says, publicly present or not, a decision needs to be made soon regarding CFL football in 2020. Canada Day is fast approaching, and I think something needs to be done then if there's going to be a regular season start come Labor Day. Is that a reasonable ask by Carlos or any fan that agrees with him that we just need a decision, yes or no? Are you willing to live with the bad news, I guess is my point. I mean, I've said it a few times with Canada West, the Western Canadian University Conference canceling their games. It just seemed like at the first hint of trouble, we're gone. If the CFL cancels their season, Randy Ambrosi wants to know that he's exhausted all options. He said that publicly, and I believe that. If the CFL pulls the plug on 2020, it's because there's absolutely no chance they can play. That's why they're holding on, and I find that admirable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, we were talking about Chad Jeter, Rough Riders defensive lineman, D-end, super guy. He's been on this show. Every day he's been tweeting, will today be the day we hear? Will today be the day we hear? And then yesterday he puts out on Twitter, and I'm not totally, maybe not totally accurate on what he said, but he said, hey, I got a master's in business administration. I have a minor in this. Will you hire me? Like, he's moving on. And if he gets his dream job outside football, he's probably not coming back to play football again. But would you not be advising the players right now, go get jobs? Because we're now into week two, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not getting checks from the Canadian government. They're damn sure not getting checks from their teams. What do you expect them to do?
I know. You have to find a way to provide, right? And a lot of these players have young families. They've got significant others. They're starting to, you know, get to that next stage of their lives. And a lot of them are starting to think about life after football, or they should be, because the CFL career is just not a long one for most players. Yeah, I'd be advising them to get jobs too. I mean, you want to be flexible that you can come back. You can still train. You can come back when the season's on. But yeah, with so much uncertainty and unknown, you got to make sure you're looking out for you and yours, and they got to do that.
Dan Millett writes in and says, Mosaic Stadium should put a Quonset cover for a roof. That would be awesome.
Now,
that would be so Saskatchewan, a big Quonset roof over Mosaic Stadium. Why didn't we think of that?
And Mosaic in a hailstorm or
ding,
a rain?
Ding, ding, ding,
be
ding,
so
ding,
loud.
Ding.
It'd be so loud.
It'd be awesome. So, we would call it the Quonset.
Yeah.
The Mosaic Quonset. Michael Gregory's watching in New Orleans. And he says, you got to go through hell to get to heaven. Well, yes. But in sports terms, we're still in hell. Now, in life terms, we're not, by the way. I didn't say this, but I spent the weekend dealing with some really nasty, scary stuff. And you know that there's children in the hospital with compromised immune systems that can't even see their parents and haven't seen them for months. They've got nurses delivering messages or giving them hugs on behalf of their parents. So imagine being a toddler and you can't see your parents. Think about that for a second. And NBA players are afraid to go back and play. Do I always need to bring the gravity to the situation just to kind of hit home and realize somebody's got it way worse than you? Could you imagine? That's hell, Darren.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine that, having, you know, a child that you can't see, a loved one, period. Yeah, there's so much worse going on right now, for sure. And I know, you know, this is a step further from the grocery store worker, but We got that nice message from the grocery store worker who kind of was appreciative of your rant the other day.
Did I get one?
Yeah, the one came into the show. I think it was in our DMs.
I didn't see it.
Okay, well, we got to find it and show it to you. It's pretty good.
Okay.
But
oh, I actually got some support for once?
Yeah. But it's
wow.
But you got to see the other side of the situation is that you're right. There is so much worse going on. And just because in Saskatchewan or Manitoba or in your community, the curve is flattening, it doesn't mean it is everywhere. And you look at the states, there's a map that I saw over the weekend with green and orange and yellow and red, depending on the severity of COVID cases, going up, going down, who's flattening the curve, who's not. You know, again, we can't see out of our own bubbles, right? So just because you're flattening the curve and think the whole world should be open, or New Zealand's taking care of business and they've opened up the whole country, doesn't mean that it's gone from the world. There's still bad situations out there.
I'm sorry. And that's why I don't like to be the heavy. I mean, this Dan Millett says, Rod, I can't even think about that. What, thinking about reality that those children haven't seen their parents or family for months and nurses have to deliver hugs for the nurses wearing shields, by the way? You don't have to think about it, but it is going on. And I just think if people could get outside their own goddamn world for once and think about somebody else and what they're going through, it might make a bit of a change here. But here we sit on day 95. We're no further ahead. People still bitching at each other's throats. And these players saying, frankly, not all of them, but not all of them. But there are some that don't want to go back to play because they fear the coronavirus. I got mine. I got money in the bank. We're good. So you guys sort it out and come get me when it's over. These guys are role models to kids. Kids are looking up to them, and this is the message that they're sending. It's my commentary that's running on Cat Country 98 this morning. I agree with Charles Barkley that you didn't get into being a pro athlete to be a role model. I agree with that. But you are. Whether you like it or not, you are. So kids are looking up to these athletes that don't want to play, and you got frontline workers, grocery workers, health workers that aren't being looked up to. And just people that do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and kids, that's not sexy because they're not on Instagram holding up 10,000 cash to their ear. Oh, sorry.
No.
I'm going to lose my mind here.
You're right. And it's just like my brother who works in the mine, right? I mean, he didn't sign up for all, you know, to be underground all day, but they pay him a little extra for the danger pay. He didn't sign up to be a role model, but you're getting paid to take on that responsibility. You don't have to be a pro athlete.
Point six, sports options. I watched NASCAR yesterday. It was delayed, but it was awesome from Miami. And actually, I watched it from the start. What did the announcer say? We're under green. I didn't even know that was a term. Like, once the green flag drops, we're under green. Psst, away they go.
Right.
And it's fun watching them. Where's this been all my life?
Yeah.
UFC, watch fight night Saturday night. I don't know, PGA a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. And that's why I say the CFL needs to stay top of mind because they're just going to slide right off the table. One point that I had was our simulation games. I know people are watching it. Here's our week one scores from our computer simulations. These are actually believable, I would suggest. The Edmonton Eskimos beat the BC Lions 27-16 in Edmonton Thursday Night Football. Friday night doubleheader. Huge upset in my mind. You called it. I didn't. Matt Nichols wins his Argos debut. Dinwiddie gets the blue Gatorade shower. The Argos win in Ottawa, 55-19. Lapalisse, Arbuckle. Very upset.
Surprised at the score.
That it was a mollywhopping like that? Calgary Stampeders rout Montreal, 47-20. James Wilder Jr. was watching our simulation and interacting with fans. This is marketing, people. Fan engagement. That's what it actually means. And Hamilton avenged their loss in the Grey Cup. They beat Winnipeg 23-12 at Iverwind Stadium. Wade Miller liked my Facebook post on that, even though they lost.
Wow.
So, week two coming up, there's that. We'll get into that. I didn't even mention who's on the show today, by the way. Jim Mullen, the president of Football Canada. Troy Westwood, who needs no introduction. Jim Lawson, who's the CEO of Woodbine Racetrack in Toronto. I can't wait to talk to Jim. Former, you know that name, of course. Former chairman of the CFL's Board of Governors. And Brian Snow, the snowman, going to join us from Indy. Thanks, everybody, for the support. I apologize for the language that I used, but I'm frustrated with people that 94 days into this, they're not getting it. As my father-in-law used to say, wiki, wiki. Okay, poll question before we go to Jim Mullen. Today's poll question, because we wanted to keep it somewhat not COVID-related for Capital Ottawa Universal Collision Center. Which Canadian city would be the best hub for the NHL? Because we know they're going to Las Vegas in America, and they may still not come to Canada, but if they did, what's the best city? Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, or Saskatoon? What a shock. On Facebook, Edmonton leads with 50%. Well, they're number three for viewership for this city, for this show. That wouldn't surprise me. On Twitter, 42% leading the vote. They're saying Saskatoon.
Yeah.
So we'll have some fun with that throughout the program. Is Jimmy Mullen ready to roll? Okay. Oh, all of Canadian football fans will be tuned in for when we come back. Jim Mullen joins us. He is the president of Football Canada, and you know he's got thoughts on Canada West canceling fall sports. That's next. It's the RP Show. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Canada's morning sports talk show continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED. LED sign rentals. Video. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Just ahead of TSN's Jim Mullen, we can say that too. He's the host of TSN's Crown Gridiron Nation and the president of Football Canada. Zach in Calgary writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. Says, good morning, RP from Calgary. I'm really loving the CFL 2020 show. I'm really missing football. Breaking news, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, he's reporting that several Cowboys players and several Texans players have tested positive for COVID-19 recently. I don't know if you've seen this or not. I think this just came down. Sources tell Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, none of the players are believed to have been in their team facilities. The teams followed proper health protocols. Thank you, Zach, in Calgary for checking in with that news.
5 minutes ago, the notification came.
Yeah, so thank you, Zach. You're all over it. Let's go to Jim Mullen now. He's been waiting patiently out there in Vancouver, the president of Football Canada, and also from Crown Gridiron Nation. Jim, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Rod. How are you?
Probably better than you in terms of trying to oversee football in Canada. And can we start with the unpopular decision, because it is unpopular, of Canada West canceling fall sports, and where, what's it been, a week, 2 weeks, where you sit on that today?
Well, I think Canada West had their decision made for them by the schools. When the schools decided, at least most of them, decided to go with distance ed, online education, then that takes away the funding that's necessary to run athletic departments. So as much as the announcement by Canada West and by the OUA and by the AUS were all about health and safety, it really comes down to money. Alberta, in their athletic department, was ready to run a $2.5 million deficit this year. And the government told them that they needed to balance their budget. So I don't know how they would have done that without fans in the stands and without student funding. I know in Manitoba, they're facing a similar situation, even though they don't have student funding. So they don't have the money to pay for it. So at the end of the day, we don't have football. Now, there still is the possibility of two things. One of them is spring football. I know the OUA is working on something of a truncated spring schedule. I don't know how they're going to necessarily pull that off. And then there has been talk, mainly driven by alumni groups in Western Canada and by the RSEQ, or at least some leading teams in the RSEQ, that they're going to find a way to play football, whether it's through non-conference games, or in the case of the RSEQ, waiting as long as they can until they can play some football. The problem in Quebec, of course, is the island of Montreal and the COVID infection cases they have there. Even if those teams in Montreal don't play, there's still three teams led by Laval that could play some football.
Brian in Vancouver from the Lion's Den podcast, Brian Warbushin asks, can you ask Jim if high school football falls under Football Canada and what the chances are that they play this year?
In the case of BC, high school football does not fall under Football Canada. They are not members. Across the Prairie provinces, that's a different situation. Will they play? It all comes down to what the edict is from the provincial government in BC in terms of what stage they're at and what they will allow for contact football. Now, we have been in conversations with BC High School football as we've been planning our return to football document, which comes out on Thursday, which gives instructions to all the provinces and all the associations about how they can return in various stages across the board. We issued, out of all the national sports associations, the first edict banning all face-to-face contact and gameplay way back on March the 12th. But a lot harder to come back when it's a different situation in different provinces. I suspect that you got a chance in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, a little harder in Alberta, slightly harder in BC, given the standards in BC, but there's still a possibility.
Darren, you can jump in any time here, but here's the thing. With the way it was announced by Canada West, it just seemed like, oh, no big deal. We'll cancel and we'll come back next year. Well, it's a huge deal, and I've been talking to parents. What's 1 year of tuition if you're bringing your kid back for a sixth year of university just so he can play football? It's not cheap, Jim. I mean, you're just look at Saskatoon, for instance. You're renting an apartment, all the costs that go along with it, plus your tuition, plus your books, plus your training. It's not a small deal. You know, and what I was, it was kind of confusing the way it came out. And that's why I put this to you, is that the university's decision was a Canada West decision. You got coaches saying they go along with it because they have to. It's their employer, right? And yet families were upset because of the added cost to them. And then, you know, the Northern Eight discussion, which you've been prone of for a long time. If some universities play, but not that, not others, that doesn't help the kids. So where do you stand on that?
No, you know, there's a possibility of about six teams right now playing out of 27. That doesn't work for the sport in the best way possible. With all of those things that you mentioned, Rod, I think that's why that you have alumni groups across Western Canada now associated with these teams that want to find a way to play football, that want to be able to give value for the money that these kids invest to play. Remember, we don't have full ride scholarships in Canada. Another concern as well is that there's been a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort invested into recruiting, and a number of schools recruit from across the country. A lot of those kids will make a decision, maybe if they're sitting out for a year, to maybe go somewhere else, to maybe drop out of the game. To, you know, there's a number of options that they have to explore as well. So it's tough on families. It's tough on students. On a personal basis, I wish that they would have taken this a little bit further. That being said, this was driven by athletic directors that were looking at their bottom line and saw losses in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And when you don't have the money to pay the bills, it makes your decision pretty easy for you.
I can see that, Jim, for sure. And so with the eligibility, that's one of the things that have come up, and allowing another year of eligibility. How easy is that to implement when you got new recruits coming in? You know, you might adjust roster sizes, things like that. Is it something you do just for one season? Is it something that you kind of put into a three-year window? All those eligibility questions, how easy is that to implement, and how much do you see that playing a factor?
Well, by talking to several senior leaders in and around universities in Canada, university athletic departments, I'm getting the feedback that they are going to find a way to bump the year 1 year older for at least 1 year. I was a little surprised that in the rush for these three conferences and U Sports to make this announcement, that they hadn't dealt with that already, in terms of accommodating those fifth-year senior players that want to get that extra year in. The other thing, too, is that if there is spring football, if there is non-conference football, anything played this year will not count against a player's eligibility, and I think that's important if any players want to showcase themselves. There's also the other aspect as well of junior football. Junior football is already on the record of saying that they want to start on September the 1st. There have been plans discussed within the BCFC for a six-game season and the PFC for a four-game season right now, where the Saskatchewan and Manitoba teams play each other and the Alberta teams play each other, and maybe there's a championship at the end of it. One of the discussions around that is limiting the number of U Sports players that you can add to a roster for those PFC and BCFC teams. It's also my understanding that you know, they're taking a money hit as well in terms of fundraising. So at the end of the day, there probably won't be a Canadian Bowl, but there will be a route for about 60 U Sports players, 60 to 70 U Sports players, to find a way to get onto a junior roster if their school isn't playing football.
Does junior football fall under your umbrella, Football Canada?
They do in an associate sort of way. All of the players within the CJFL are members of Football Canada. They're non-voting members. That's something that we're working on for GM Rod. I've got to tell you, man. Over the last 3 months, this has been a 7-day-a-week job. It's between trying to bring reforms in to include more of the football community, like the CJFL, as a voting member, and dealing with the COVID situation, finding ways and means to fund the office when we know that we're going to take a membership hit when grassroots football isn't going to be played in the same numbers. It's been work, it's been steady, and it's been fluid. Things change every day when it comes to this file.
For sure, and you're one of those leaders that I admire. I mean, you didn't plan for this when you signed up to be president of Football Canada. I don't like the criticism levied at leaders, but you're used to it. So you're doing a great job, and we got a lot out of this interview, Jim, so I appreciate it. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we let you go?
Well, we have a return to football document coming out on Thursday for everyone in amateur football. It will provide a great guide for everyone right down to the flag and association level to follow. It will coordinate with your government ministries and your government health services. I think it's going to be a very important document for the sport moving forward. I'm keeping my fingers crossed as well for all the guys at the university sports level that they find a way, whether it's a spring league, whether it's a way to junior football. You just got to stay safe. The virus does not discriminate.
Jim, good stuff, man. Keep it up. Great job. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, you too. You keep it up, too. I know what it's like to run your own show, and you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Jim Mullen, the president of Football Canada, joining us. And I'll be honest with you, I got out of that what I was hoping to. Mm-hmm. Jim's thoughts on Canada West and the other conferences, the Atlantic and Ontario, canceling their season. He's not a fan.
No. I'm surprised
that it was rushed. I wrote some of it down. This is tough on families. I wish they'd taken a little bit further. Non-conference games doesn't do anything for the sport. So, yeah, I appreciate that from Jim. That's one side of it.
Yeah, and, you know, he alluded, and there was a couple of comments. I know, you know, Jeff in Calgary. Yeah, in BC, and the reason they're not members, you know, my understanding, but in BC, for the most part, they play four-down football throughout that province. So the close, and I know it came from the beginning, and I think, you know, because they're separated by the mountains, it was easier for them to go down and play in those coastal states, you know, Washington and such. So they play four down football, which is kind of crazy. It's a big difference than we're used to playing, you know, throughout the prairies. But
yeah.
But when you talk about, you know, adopting the NFL, the NFL Canada, the four down game, it's already happening in one of our provinces.
Yeah, BC is very far into that. But look, again, we're Saskatchewan guys. I still believe football's football. Look at all the rinks we played in growing up. The damn airport hangar at Briarcrest was tiny. Fillmore had a tiny little rink. The RCMP here, Depot, had a... like, you can play on a different size surface. Notre Dame, Olympic size. We all played on that.
Yeah.
Let's not... it's not brain surgery, folks. Okay?
Yeah.
More on that all in a minute, but first, sports update. Denny Hamlin took the lead with 30 laps remaining, then held off Chase Elliott to capture the NASCAR Cup Series race at Homestead Miami Speedway Sunday. It was Hamlin's record-tying third win at Homestead. Former drivers Tony Stewart and Greg Biffle are the other three-time winners. Daniel Berger captured the PGA Tour's Colonial in a playoff with Colin Morikawa. After making par on the first extra hole, Berger clinched the victory when Morikawa missed his 3-foot par attempt. The tournament, the tour's first in 3 months due to COVID-19, was played without fans. And Canadian international Alphonso Davies has been voted Bayern Munich's Player of the Month for May. The 19-year-old fullback got 37% of the fan vote. The award comes 3 days after Davies won the Bundesliga Rookie Award for May. And the sarcastic you-know-whats in the Canadian sports media saying Alphonso Davies is already the runaway leader for the Lionel Conacher Award, or is it the Lou Marsh Award?
Lou Marsh.
For Canadian Athlete of the Year.
Wow.
It's like the only one playing.
I know. Right? And he's killing it.
This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. We are open. Stop in today at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. As much as these restaurants are opening around here, they're really not full of any of the ones we've gone to. We hit a couple patios.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be, right? They're at 50% capacity, but at least people are staying safe.
Yeah.
They're telling me Westwood's ready. I'll get your point on that in a minute. So, yeah, lots to get to with Troy Westwood. His Bombers lost in week one, CFL simulation, 23-12. I'm not sure he knows that, even though Justin Medlock was one of one. You know, it's a rabbit hole that we can go down.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Lots to get to with Troy Westwood out of Winnipeg when we come back. We'll update the poll results. Check the Prairie Mobile text line. We're just actually getting rolling on this Monday morning. Canada's morning sports talk show is right here. The RP Show will be right back on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Sud's Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio.
Here we go.
Here's Rod.
All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. All right. All right. Everybody loves us talking about the Saskatchewan Barns that we grew up playing hockey in. You guys want to talk about U.S. football fields, Canadian football fields. Come on. Football's football. Give me a break. It's not rocket science. And Nick Nielsen writes that he says, don't forget the barn in Yellowgrass had snow fall through the roof during intermission a couple of years ago. Brett Thompson says, love the yellow bumps on the ice as the temperature warmed in the old barns. Well, maybe you loved it. I was in goal, so I didn't really have to deal with those. But you're skating and you hit a bump and you're like, oh!
No, thanks.
You could shave them down in the crease.
I'm
sure they had those in Manitoba where Troy Westwood grew up playing hockey. And let's bring Westy in. While I read this tweet, Troy, this is specifically for you and our fans. It says, from the Las Vegas Posse, Troy, on Twitter. We're running out of ideas for things to tweet with the season on hold right now. Tweet us your favorite thing about having a CFL team in Las Vegas. What would be yours, sir?
Well, I saw Jeff Reinbold highlighted with that question, and maybe if that's what brought Coach Reinbold into the CFL, then I'm going to have to jump into that camp.
That's what their legacy. That's their legacy, huh? Giving Jeff Reinbold his first job.
Well, their legacy, I don't know. That's where Cavillo also started, right? I know it wasn't a great situation for him, but it was. I hated that whole American expansion thing. I absolutely detested every single second of it, man. So
okay.
I don't have much positive to say about it.
I'm glad that we opened up that can of worms, by the way, because I'm looking at your career here. You were an all-star in 92 and 94, all-Canadian in 92. What did you hate?
96, 97, 98, 99, too, I think.
Yeah, but who's counting?
That's not on the thing you're looking at?
No, you got to go update your Wikipedia. Your Wikipedia hasn't been updated since 1994, Troy. At least we
can. Yeah, I need to jump on that, right? Yeah. Just add some numbers to it.
At least we got you laughing because I didn't get into the league till 99 full time. I missed all those games and road trips. You're one of the first to have that amount of disdain for the U.S. American experiment. Why is that?
It just, you know, I had just been in college for 4 years in South Dakota as a Canadian kid, always wanting to go to an American college. Grew up like that, right? America was big time. You got into America, man. That was, I just kind of grew up with one of those sort of Canadian, didn't value ourselves enough maybe as a Canadian thing. And then had the opportunity to go to South Dakota for 4 years. And I just came back to Canada. And I was so happy to come back to Canada after 4 years in America. And I found out, I thought I loved America when I went down there, but I did not like it at all. And I was so happy to come back. And I understand they needed the cash infusion, right? It was a survival move for sure. But man, some of the things, like, first of all, the Baltimore Stallions, it just, they destroyed us. And I was intimidated when we went to play Baltimore. It was they were really good, and their stadium was just a brutal. I hated it, and it sucked. We went into Birmingham, and guys on our team were climbing the fence because they were throwing racial words at a bunch of our players. It was just madness. And then I think down in one of the, maybe Shreveport, I think the whole wall on the shower was ants. It was black. Everyone thought it was the wall, but they started moving. It was all ants. I just didn't like it. It felt weird, right? The CFL, all the Canadian pride attached with it. We're down in America. It just felt weird. I didn't like it.
Troy, this is absolutely amazing stuff. And I had not planned to go down this road, by the way. Colin in Ottawa writes, then he says, the introductory press conference in Las Vegas and all the interesting people up on stage with Nick Meletti, the owner of the posse. Yes, there were strippers, midgets, unicorns. I don't know. That's my kind of thing. I don't know. But it didn't last.
You know, all that sort of part. And you know what? When we went, I'd never been to Vegas when we went down there for that game. And I remember the stuff being handed out on the corners and stuff like that. And I'm not a party or anything like that. And I came out of that. To me, the end of the world is Vegas. Like that, when there's a, I just didn't like it at all. I didn't like the trip, and then the game stunk. Right, there was 200-400 people. Half of them were from Winnipeg, and it just, yeah. I don't know, man. The whole, I know that the league, it probably saved the CFL back then, but I didn't like it at all.
It absolutely did. So, but you're not planning trips to Las Vegas anytime soon now, let alone in 1994.
Well, if I would have known, you know, in football trips like that, man, you never really had a chance to go and visit a part of the country or anything like that. But with all the outdoor stuff, that's what I'd be interested in Vegas now, man, is to go take part in a bunch of the outdoor things you can do there. I've had friends that have gone down there and they said, man, it's not about the strip for them. They say you get away from all that and go and visit the canyons and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty cool, all the outdoor stuff that they have to offer there. So I think that's what I'd dig the most.
Yeah, but you're right. That's not, you're there to play football. You're not there to be a sightseer or a tourist, and that's what people really don't understand.
It's a business trip, right?
It's a business trip. But the other thing was, you know, years ago I was really promoting the CFL expansion, and they were selling the T-shirts and stuff, and the CFL head office were like, Rod, stop talking about it. We don't want it remembered. We don't. So once that book came out by Ed Willis in Vancouver.
Yeah,
It was Ed Willis. I read it and I'm like, oh yeah, now I remember. But as you know, Troy, your mind only remembers the good things. Your mind blocks out the bad things. Once I read the book, I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm understanding why they want to forget about this. So anyways, sorry if I picked at a scab or brought up a bad topic here.
Oh, no.
Other than that, how are things in Winnipeg in the world of Troy Westwood amid COVID-19?
Well, it's, you know, the whole quarantine aspect for a lot of folks, you know, if you're alone, I can't imagine the time here if you've had to deal with that alone. But for us, our house is absolutely beautiful chaos. And it's just, I mean, we've got, our daughter lives with us with her boyfriend / fiance. Our grandson lives with us. Our 12-year-old son lives with us. We've got four dogs. We've got a beautiful backyard. So, yeah, as far as that whole dynamic of it, we've really enjoyed the family time and that sort of thing. And I've done what I can to keep Trey extra active, sort of like during the, you know, we've been playing road hockey for an hour and a half every day. We try and go out for bike rides and play soccer as well and things of that nature. So it's been fun within the context of the strangeness and craziness of COVID and how it's affected the sports world and our jobs specifically, Rod, and that sort of thing. When it first came out and everything was shutting down, people were kind of panicked at our radio station, TSN 1290 in Winnipeg. But to me, I was like, "What? There's nothing to worry about here. We don't need games. Like, if three, four guys and gals sit around a table that love sports, the conversation about sports are endless. We don't need games happening now to talk about things that we're looking forward to, revisit things that have happened, all that sort of stuff. So I was never worried about content or things of great interest. So, yeah, it's been a very interesting little journey for a lot of us, I think, that have been involved with the sports business. And it's just, boy, it's going to be this whole buffet upcoming here. when things get going again. Hopefully the CFL can work its way back and the NHL come in, the NBA, if MLB can pull its head out of its backside and get going. But we are in store over the next couple of months maybe here when sports get back going, that it's just going to be a buffet of the things we love.
Speaking of, it sounds like your pizza pops are done. Do you want to go get them or can you answer a couple more questions?
I don't eat pizza pops, bruh.
I thought that was the microwave going off. I'm sorry. Well,
maybe I think mom's in the kitchen. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
It
makes me want. I said the same thing. I had all these people coming up to me when this started going, what are you going to talk about with no games? I'm like, just watch. Don't worry. Leave that to us. Yeah. We'll handle it just fine. But in Winnipeg, how are your listeners dealing with no Bombers, no Jets? I mean, are they cool with talking NASCAR, Korean baseball, PGA, story time? I mean, how are you entertaining them?
Well, we adopted a team in the Korean League. I can't even remember what the heck they were called. The Eagles.
They're last place.
Yeah, they were last place. They stunk. So yeah, so we bailed on them. But we didn't spend much time talking about that stuff. No, we still talked a lot of CFL and Bombers and NHL and Jets and NFL stuff and NBA stuff and MLB. Like there was still all kinds of stuff to talk about that we had all kind of, like there wasn't a single day or segment, Rod, that we were stumped and not knowing what we're going to. We had all kinds of fun with top 10 lists and stuff like that. But there's always great debate and discussion to be had with personnel. You know, expectations, mistakes made, what's going to happen when things get back going, all that sort of stuff. It hasn't been a struggle whatsoever. And people here, I think everyone really across the sport world, huh? Everyone's just so yearning for sports to come back. And you know what affected me the most, Rod? Wasn't watching sports. Like I'm 53, man, and I've been playing sports since I was 5. Hockey, soccer, football later. But I really miss playing, man. Like, I still play soccer. I still play hockey. I coach my son in soccer. And to watch him, you know, not be able to play and listen to struggling with not being able to play. And for, you know, it's been however many weeks now that since I've touched a soccer ball in a game, which is the longest stretch of my life. That's, I just miss playing. Oh, man, I miss playing. And even for me as a washed up old beer leaguer or senior men soccer player, man, the competitive feeling of playing a game that you love. That's what I miss the most.
Oh, yeah. The kids are the ones suffering the most right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that. A lot of people are suffering, but it's particularly young people. Some of our viewers and producer Clark want to know if you have any of your old one-bar helmets. If so, do you have any in the vicinity? The kicker helmet.
No, I've got an old Chris Walby helmet that I had him sign and I gave to Trey. It's in Trey's room. I could go throw it on for you real quick. But
no, it's all good.
Bar, in my final couple of years... I was what John Ryan. John Ryan was wearing the two bar, and I thought, man, JR looks pretty cool in that. So I made the transition. I went to the actual helmet and actual mask. And I felt like a man out there with that mask on.
The one bar never looked that great. I mean, did you wear it because that was the thing to do? You were handed it to you when you got there, or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And in college, right? Like that's what Cameron and Kennard wore when I went and kicked around with them for a little bit before I went to school. And when I remember I'd have to saw off that it was always a two bar, a plastic two bar, and I'd have to saw it off and grind it down to get the one bar thing. And being a soccer guy, I hated having any mask. If I could have chosen, I would have picked no mask whatsoever. I hated how it impeded my vision to the ball, man. But you get used to it, and I'd pull it so super down low all the time, right? I just hated having the bar there.
But the rookies show up, they're too afraid to say anything, so they just take it. The one that drives me nuts is when kids come in and they don't know how to, we say their name wrong, and they're too shy to tell you that you're saying it wrong. So then it's like year 4 or 5, yeah. They're like, oh, by the way, my name said this. I'm like, why didn't you tell me that as a rookie? But you're just too afraid to say
that
anything, right?
It happens a lot in the hockey world especially, right?
Oh,
guys have been around the league for X number of years, and all of a sudden they announce they want their name pronounced the proper way. I can respect that.
Well, it's like it's too late now. Mike Edom, safety for the Riders, came to me a couple years ago. Oh, by the way, it's Edom. Dude!
Yeah.
You've been in the league 6 years! You know, he didn't even start here. But anyways, Troy, we could go all day. I appreciate this. I hope that this tickled your ribs a little bit to have a few chuckles. And we're watching what you're doing out there. You're doing a great job. I appreciate it. But I should say this, though. What's your deal with Trump? That's the one burning question that I have for you, man. Like, does it keep you up at night, the president of the United States?
I have followed politics intently since my college days. I was involved with the Young Republicans on campus at Augustana in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I met Bush Sr. I had a signed 8x10 of him in my room. I had a 8x10 of Ronald Reagan in my room. I love politics, man. I've always been really deeply involved and have watched and considered politics as a possible career at times for sure as well. I think Donald Trump is the most disgusting, despicable leader the free world has ever seen. And this isn't about right and left. People think because of the comments and statements that I make, you know, I get all the names, the snowflake, the libtard, all that sort of stuff. There are certain issues, economic issues, generally, I'm very conservative. Social issues, I am very liberal, right? But people think that I'm a certain thing because I'm always going after Trump. I don't care about the left-right thing. It's not about conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican to me, man. It's about decency. He is vile. And it's so disgusting to me. I just don't understand, man, the people that have seen the things that he has done. There is video and audio of the amount of lies and all the rest of it and how he's breaking down simple things that are just basic democracy, man. He's attacking democracy. And I'm just astonished at the people that sit there and watch that. And, you know, all of it, he's just the most remarkable facade in our lifetimes. And I watching and seeing how this unfolds over the next 10, 20 years as history reflects on this, Rod, I think is going to be remarkable. We are living in remarkable times, and never before has America ever had anywhere near a leader as dangerous and as despicable as Donald Trump. I just can't stand the human being.
I'm glad I asked, and I'm glad that you were able to get off your chest your political leanings, because I never really knew, so you kind of explain why you do it, and I don't have an opinion on it. I can't imagine the blowback that you get. I just find it entertaining.
Not much. There's not a lot of Trumpsters in Canada, man.
No, there isn't.
Not a lot of people. But there are some, right? There's people that approach me. I was driving in a parking lot in Winnipeg the other day. A dude in a red pickup with a Confederate flag sticker on the front drove by me. Right, so there are Trumpsters here. I deal with them. I've seen a couple of Make America Great hats in Winnipeg. People sitting down at restaurants or in a movie and have had discussions with them. And on Twitter, I don't know what it is, man. It's probably 95% to 5%. You know, 95 that don't appreciate Donald Trump. And even if people are conservative in our country or Republican down there, people don't like him. Right, people can see through the facade and all the rest of it, but. I at first, Rod, I'd get upset talking to them and I'd think idiot and all the rest of the stuff. I'm at a place now where I want to help enlighten them, right? And like I'll engage in discussion and all the rest of it, but I don't want to create any friction with it. I just want to try and make a point or two to help them think a little bit differently, man. And it's not about left or right. It's not about conservative, Republican, Democrat, liberal, nothing like that. It's just about look at the man. What are you accepting? What are you supporting and following?
All right, Troy. I appreciate it, man. I'll let you get back on with your day. Thanks for the time today, and stay safe out there.
Hey, brother. Take care, man.
Troy Westwood joining us from TSN 1290 Winnipeg, and I'm glad to have him return the favor. They're nice enough to have me on their program quite often. It's nice to get Troy over here. I wish that we were talking a little more CFL, but we can't. And we'll get back on track with some of the quick six show topics here in the time that we have left in hour one, of which we have got some time here. Maybe I should say, what do you want to talk about? Because I kind of been leading the discussion here for hour one.
Well, yes, you should. But I like Troy. He's so passionate when it comes to the game. And, you know, I'm sitting there smiling when he's just taking, it seems like he just took control of their newsroom over at TSN Radio in Winnipeg and said, we don't need sports. We're good. We got so much to talk about when you put sports people around the table and let them go. And he's one of those guys, right? I mean, you can just see how passionate he is, not just about sports, but about life, right? And, you know, a guy, you've had plenty of conversations with him. It's easy to get rolling with guys like that. When you have good, talented people, content's never an issue.
Well, it's about, what I say, 95 days of the pandemic here? in our world, it's about entertainment. When are people going to start realizing it's about entertainment? Any jackwagon can host a show and talk about stats and goals and...
No, I can break down the game last night. That's
I get it so much from people that, oh, my son wants to get into broadcasting because he just loves sports. It's all his whole life. So he can rattle off any stat. Great. Can he hold an audience? Right? Can he have them not want to change the channel? That's what it's about. It's not about knowing all the stats and knowing this and that. It's about being engaging. That's why I think when this does emerge, and we're doing these sim broadcasts and hopefully announcing or adding announcers soon, I do think when we do emerge, when you have a chat section for viewers and when there's bullying going on and swearing and bad things, boom, you're out. The SJHL was a wonderful test market for us. We did it. You did it. Derek Myers, Amanda Ruler, all the crew that did the SJHL playoff sim. If we move it to the CFL, we perfected it with the SJHL. You know, be kind online, all of that. Being entertaining, bringing the players in, which we had with the SJHL. Now it's starting with the CFL. It's about entertainment and having the fans involved.
Big time.
Because you know what? To get this back, by the way, you're going to need to engage the fans and want them to dig in their pocket or give you their credit card because they're not going to want to.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Rod's rant. Didn't even plan it. but that's what it's going to take. I mean, listen, I understand that we need to break. We're out of time in hour one. We'll continue this next hour. I'm just tired of talking about COVID sports. Is Randy Ambrosi visible? Is he not? People bashing and barking at him. Maybe they're right. I don't know. I'm just tired of the hate for this morning.
Yeah.
That's all. Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Racetrack in Toronto. If you recognize the name, you should. For many years, he was the chairman of the CFL's Board of Governors. He's going to join us. It's exciting times in horse racing. They got a new betting app out. We'll talk about that. Betting on the ponies. It's a thing again. And also Brian Snow, the snowman, checking in from Indy. Get our Indy sports update, which is perfect. I got my Colts shirt ready to roll. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, Rod Squad, now you can join the team with your very own RP Show gear. Head to rodpetersonshop.com and get yours today while supplies last. It's just like we wear on the show, official RP Show gear at rodpetersonshop.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.